It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okpanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Hello. Welcome in. Tuesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert. Inside the Shirley Street studio. Although we could move it outside today with a light jacket, albeit. Gosh, this weather's great. Looked at the extended forecast. I was scared at first. Figured there'd be another 20-something in there. That 10-day is a thing of beauty. It's nothing short of a Picasso, quite frankly. Hope you're able to get out and enjoy this weather, especially now that we're back on daylight savings time and we got that extra sunlight in the evening. And perhaps you heard it last hour during Maggie and Perloff, or at the end of the hour during Radio Iowa News, that the U.S. Senate today, it was either unanimous or nearly unanimous, which is saying something these days in the political climate we're in, that the U.S. Senate passed a bill to permanently put the country on daylight savings time. What we're at right now that everybody likes so much. Nobody likes to fall back, right? Or if you do, please consult your doctor. But so that passes the Senate. It goes to the House now. And I suppose you just we just pray at this point that the House will pass that. And we can get something that I think most of us actually agree on, done politically, with government. In this country, I did hear, though, that with a little bit of research last hour on Maggie and Perloff, that if it does pass the House, we would still fall back one more time. It would take effect in 2023. So I would guess that it would just take effect once we spring ahead next year, that at that point, then when we would stay on daylight savings time until the end of eternity. So, I tell you what, a lot of great stuff going on, right? March Madness technically has already been here, but I suppose also technically may not start until 5:30 tonight when the NCAA men's basketball tournament gets going as Texas A&M Corpus Christi takes on Texas Southern, and this is a hustle-up edition of the show. As a result, coverage of that one from our great partners at Westwood One Sports begins at 5:30 tonight, and it's a doubleheader. Tonight, tomorrow night, a pair of doubleheaders for the first four games. So the second one tonight, Indiana taking on Wyoming. That'll tip off a little after 8 o'clock. And then tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Bryant takes on Wright State again at 5:30, and then it's Notre Dame Rutgers. So look forward to that as your appetizers ahead of the NCAA men's basketball tournament getting started in earnest on Thursday and Friday with what are, quite frankly, two of the absolute best days on the sports calendar, where from 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time past 9 o'clock at night, there is basketball to watch. So it just brings a smile to my face talking about it. And I've, quite frankly, already talked too much in this monologue. As I mentioned, Hustle Up edition of the show today. However you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thanks so much for being here. like our Facebook page, type in 1650-102.3 The Fan on the Zuckerberg machine and hammer that like button. Follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Check out the all-new website, 1650thefan.com. Bookmark it. That's where you can find details on Bracket Attack and podcast of this show and a whole lot of other great local and statewide sports content, 1650thefan.com. We had the Bracket Attack selection show yesterday. In case you missed that and you're one of our lucky 64 registrants, go to the website, check it out, and see which team you got paired with. If you want to join in today, try and hop in the Hustle Up Edition. It's 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or 800-913-9479. You could also email the show anything you'd like to contribute, perhaps something or someone you'd like to hear on a future show. Fire away. Email address is cole at 1650thefan.com. Plenty of area sports news and scores to get to here in just a few short moments. After we do that, of course, we take timeout number one, our one and only timeout today. Get you a CBS Sports Flash VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Las Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Tuesday. We'll come back, and in our second and final segment, David Eichel of HawkeyeInsider.com will join us. David going to give us his latest analysis of Iowa men's and women's basketball, both Big Ten tournament champions, ahead of their respective NCAA tournaments. So look forward to David in the next segment. And as I mentioned, final segment of the show. And before we hand the baton to our friends at Westwood One for tonight's doubleheader in the first four of the tournament, we'll get you some Radio Iowa Sports from Todd Kim. All right, that's the plan. Let's dive right in here. Cedar Falls captured the Mississippi Valley Conference Boys Indoor Track and Field Championship last night at the Unidome. The Tigers, the Tigers finished with 98 points. Western Dubuque was second with 94. Waterloo West was a 10th place finisher. East was 14th. Taking first place finishes for the Tigers was Caden Shellhorn in the 400, Braden Burnett in the 1600, Colby Cryer in the 3200, and the 4x800 relay team. The Girls Mississippi Valley Conference Indoor Track and Field Championship taking place right now at the Unidome. Three Metro teams, of course, Cedar Falls, Waterloo West, and East among those competing. Action began at 4:30. The Iowa Print Sports Writers Association has released its 2021-22 boys basketball all-state teams. In 4A, two Cedar Falls players selected. Trey Campbell made the first team. Dallas Bear was named to the third team. In 2A, Applington Parkersburg's Jaden Mackey was on the first team. Jessup's Carson Leno made the second team. And on the 2A third team was Denver's Kaylor Hoffer and Applington Parkersburg's Garrett Hempen. In 1A, area players on the first team include Dunkerton's Preston Gillespie and Gladbrook Rhinebeck's William Kiburis. Dunkerton's Casey Gardner was named to the second team. Taman Lipsy, who helped lead Ames to the 4A state championship, was named Iowa's Mr. Basketball. The 6'2" senior averaged 15.7 points per game, shot 56% from the field, and broke the school record at Ames for career assists with 339. Both Iowa and Iowa State finished in the top 10 in the final AP Women's Top 25 College Hoops poll. Iowa, 8th. Meanwhile, Iowa State was 10th. South Carolina remains number 1, Stanford 2nd, and North Carolina State 3rd. A year after going winless in the Big 12 and 20-22 overall, in case you missed it, the Iowa State men's basketball team dancing once again. In T.J. Altzberger's first year in charge at Ames, the Cyclones earned an 11 seed in the NCAA tournament. They traveled to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to play LSU on Friday. Iowa State started the season on fire, taking a 12-0 record into the new year, rising up to 8th in the AP poll. Excuse me. The Cyclones slowed down during Big 12 conference play, which many experts concede was the toughest conference in the country. Iowa State ended the season 20-12 overall and 7-11 in Big 12 play. They lost in the first round of the Big 12 tournament to Texas Tech, and you can hear the Cyclones take on LSU this Friday with pregame coverage beginning at 5:15. Iowa sophomore guard Caitlin Clark is one of four finalists for the Don Staley Award. The award recognizes the nation's best guard in women's D1 basketball. She won the award last year. If she were to win again, she would become the first player to win it in back-to-back seasons. The Des Moines native leads the nation in assists per game, total assists, points per game, total points, free throws made, triple-doubles, and 30-point games. I like her chances. Iowa basketball standout Keegan Murray has been voted an AP first-team All-American. The 6'8" sophomore averaged 23.6 points per game, which was tops among players from a Power 5, Power 6 conference. He's the only player nationally to average 23-plus points, 8-plus rebounds, and 2-plus blocks a game this season. This is the third consecutive year that an Iowa player has been named an AP first-team All-American, following Luka Garza receiving the honor in 2020 and 2021. Iowa head wrestling coach Tom Brands received a contract extension yesterday that would take him through the 2029 season. Brands has won 4 NCAA titles, 6 Big Ten titles in his 16 years as the Hawks coach. Iowa is the defending national champion headed into this week's NCAA tournament. Brands is a 5-time Big Ten Coach of the Year and 3-time National Coach of the Year. Iowa has also consistently led the nation in attendance every year since Brands' first season in 2006. The UNI basketball team will make its second appearance ever in the NIT tomorrow night. Ben Jacobson's Panthers play at St. Louis in a first-round matchup. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock. This will mark the 6th all-time meeting between the two programs, but the first since 1992. UNI last was in the NIT in 2012. The UNI women's basketball team will be part of the field for this year's WNIT. The Panthers host Kansas City at McLeod Center Thursday night at 6 in the first round. UNI finished third in the MVC this past season. Panthers are 22-10 overall. Meanwhile, the Roos are 23-8, placed third in the Summit League. Last year, UNI reached the semifinals of the WNIT. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side of a Hustle Up edition of the show, David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, joins us in our next and last segment before we hand it over for NCAA tournament coverage at 5:30 of the first four. Let's take this time out. We're back right after this.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, Deshaun Watson isn't hurting for suitors following his legal troubles. He's met with the Browns and will reportedly talk with the Falcons tomorrow, with Atlanta emerging as a surprise team vying for his services. Watson also has already met with the Panthers and Saints. Andrew Whitworth announced his retirement. The 40-year-old just won the Super Bowl with the Rams, capping a career that included 4 Pro Bowl selections. Marcus Williams is leaving New Orleans for a reported 5-year deal with the Ravens worth a total of $70 million. Safety Malik Hooker is returning to Dallas for a 2-year, $8 million deal. The Cowboys also thought Randy Gregory would be back on a 5-year deal, but after agreeing to that, he reneged and has decided to go to the Denver Broncos. Miles Jack looking for a new team, with the Jaguars releasing the veteran linebacker. The first four tips off the NCAA tournament tonight. Starting things off are Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, and Texas Southern, with a winner meeting Kansas. Indiana will face Wyoming in the second part of that doubleheader, and the winner of that one will meet St. Mary's on Thursday. And the Braves, after acquiring Matt Olson, have signed the All-Star first baseman to an 8-year, $168 million extension. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Boise State plays Memphis in the first round of the NCAA tourney. Broncos head coach Leon Rice joins us, plus all the latest in the NFL later on the Zach Gelb Show, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
CBS Sports Radio.
From the Blue Bloods to the Cinderellas, listen to all the madness of March right here on The Fan.
It's time for Unfolding Futures. Here's Akwienji.
The temps might be cold, but at Waterloo Schools, our student-athletes are turning up the heat and celebrating some major accomplishments. We'd like to give a special shout-out to Waterloo East wrestler Eli Salas, who placed 8th at state, And congratulations to the other Waterloo School state qualifying wrestlers and cheerleaders, Damaris Henderson, Lawrence Taylor, Topanga Bogardis, Jada Bork, Jessica Hemingway, and Cooper Paxton. We'd also like to congratulate Waterloo West's Sydney Wilson, who took first place in the state bowling tournament. Also, kudos to teammate Ainsley McConaughey, who took second place. Last but certainly not least, Jackson Hopus, all-conference football player from Waterloo West High School, recently signed his letter of intent to become a part of the Wartburg football team. Our Waterloo School students are award-winning athletes, thespians, musicians, and more, and they truly take advantage of the many extracurriculars we offer. Visit us online at waterlooschools.org.
Winter weather is tough on our vehicles. At Tommy's Express Car Wash, we can clear away the salt, slush, and sand and leave your vehicle shiny like new. Our state-of-the-art dryers will quickly dry your vehicle, while our new ceramic wax will protect your paint all winter long. Just stop into our location at 3110 University Drive in Waterloo to keep the winter blues away and find out about our memberships. Tommy's Express Car Wash. It's your time to shine.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Simple Green is perfect for
you
making
copy.
Your auto, RV, cycling, boating, right, and other sporting
seconds.
Equipment look like new. Visit them at simplegreen.com.
Looking at the NIT coming up on Wednesday, Northern Iowa will take on the St. Louis Billikens. St. Louis, a 4-point favorite, minus 178 on the money line. The Panthers, plus 146. The over-under at 146.5. NCAA tournament starting on Thursday for Iowa. The Hawkeyes facing Richmond and are favored by 8.5 points, over under 150.5. On the money line, Iowa minus 610, Richmond plus 440. Iowa State will play Friday against LSU. Cyclones a 4.5 point underdog, over under 126.5. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Tony Desiri, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 37. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 67. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows level off around 40. Cloudy skies expected Thursday. Decreasing clouds by Friday. Mid-50s Thursday. Upper 40s by Friday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 55.
This is the home of Cole & Company. For the ride home, weekdays 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan, the Cedar Valley sports leader.
Yeah, welcome back. Hustle Up edition of the show today. The madness is upon us, folks. First doubleheader of the first four. Don't call it a play-in game, all right? David, I think that was before you were on the beat. Have you ever been David Eichold, HawkeyeInsider.com, joins us now on a Tuesday edition of the show. David, were you ever made aware of when Iowa played in the first 4 years ago and things got a little snippy with Fran McCaffrey at a press conference?
You know, it rings a bell. I don't remember the exact details of it, but it does ring a bell. But, you know, speaking of playing games, Cole, I got to get this off my chest. You know who I think there needs to be another 11-11 teams that do the play-in game. Why are we making 16 seeds play? Like, they're one league. They're one bid leagues.
Yep.
Those teams earned it. Give them the opportunity. Don't give them this, you know, the quote-unquote play-in game. And, you know, the reality is I hate how we look upon, lesser upon these games. Because if we do, they may as well be a 64-team tournament. So,
yeah,
I don't know. But to go back to your point, Cole, I don't necessarily remember the exact details of it, but
I'll find it.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
I'll find it, and I'll send it to you. It was pretty simple. It was just a reporter very, innocently just happened to say, well, what do you think about being in the play-in game? And Fran just, as quickly as the guy got the words out of his mouth, goes, it's not a play-in game. Don't call it a play-in game. But I'll find it, and I'll send it to you. And, yeah, I agree. I would like to think there is a large consensus with getting these 16-seed teams that won their conference tournament earn their way in to what I would say the traditional 64-team field. And, I mean, I think everybody can understand. Like, okay, you want to do four playing games because you want to give – these Power 6 conference teams the opportunity or just create more games, create more revenue. Yeah, I mean, it's a real shame what's happening to the Texas A&M Corpus Christi's of the world in these couple of 16 seed playoff games. But man, we gotta talk about the Iowa men winning that Big Ten tournament championship. And I think just simply, I want to point out watching that tournament, David. That is, I don't care who you are, how good you're playing. That's just plainly such a damn hard tournament to win.
It is, Cole. I mean, there's only been three teams ever that have won four games in 4 days, and two of them were Iowa in the Big Ten. And, you know, we talked about this, I think, last week, Cole, heading into the tournament. But it goes without saying at this point, this has been Fran McCaffrey's best coaching job at the University of Iowa. Imagine us talking about this in October, right? We're talking about a team that lost four of their top seven scores. We're talking about a team that lost the consensus National Player of the Year, in my mind, two-time National Player of the Year, but that's another rant for another day. Losing Joe Wieskamp to the NBA, replacing all these guys, and now they have the second most wins in school history at 26. And, you know, Cole, they're becoming a very trendy Final Four pick, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible the job that Fran McCaffrey has done. His coaching moves in-game have been fantastic as well, moving Tony Perkins, that two-guard Jordan Bohan, back to the one. Mm-hmm. Iowa has been a top three team in the country by most advanced metrics with that move. And on top of that, how about Josh Ogundele and Riley Mulvey playing significant big-time minutes in the Big Ten championship? I mean, Fran has always said he's not been afraid to go with those guys. But those guys went in, they made a couple nice plays, and they really gave Iowa a little bit of a break with Chris Murray and Philip Rabracha in foul trouble. And, you know, with that being said, Cole, people that didn't want Jordan Bohannon back are looking pretty foolish right now based on what he did in that tournament, what he's done over the last month.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it just was one domino leading to another positive one with Jordan moving to the point, Tony moving in to that two-guard spot. And Tony Perkins just seems to have such a good gauge on what the team needs at a given point in a game, whether that's something on the defensive or the offensive end, David.
No doubt, Cole. And, you know, I think something that people need to realize about Tony Perkins, which is very, like, it's just been so impressive for me to watch. He understands his game better than anyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know how weird that sounds, but he never tries to do anything that he's not capable of doing. He's crashing the glass. I think over the last eight games, he's averaging 12.6 points, five rebounds, and four assists. And his playmaking ability has been fantastic. I mean, there have been times where he's had to take the starting point guard role, mm-hmm. and they slide Jordan Bohan over the two. I think if you look at who Iowa's next guard is going to be, that's a potential all-Big Ten caliber guard. I mean, Tony Perkins has really shown me a lot, Cole. I've been very, very impressed. On top of that, too, he's playing great defense as well. Him and Joe Toussaint, and the way that Iowa's been able to get just their role players to really embrace what they're doing. I mean, Joe Toussaint's defense changed that Big Ten title. The way when he doubled in and kept stealing the ball from Trevion Williams and Zach Edey. And Jaden Ivey, who's a projected top five pick, maybe top 10 at worst, he was visibly frustrated by how much of a Joe Toussaint was hounding him on the perimeter. Toussaint did a fantastic job in that game.
To be able to expand the rotation at a time of the year where every coach damn near is shrinking their rotation, and then to not have that disrupt the fact that this Iowa team has just shown how all these guys are fulfilling roles, pulling on the same end of the rope, not disrupting each other's game or rhythms out there. That's why I led off with just how damn impressive it is for anybody to win that Big Ten tournament just because of the caliber of the play and the circumstances that are involved. Up next, the Richmond Spiders. Now, don't ask me to give you a big rundown on Richmond, even though I saw them in person. It was all the way back in December and damn near 30 games ago. I can tell you this. Just going off of my eye test, for whatever it's worth, from a team that I saw in December, this Iowa team should beat Richmond, David.
No doubt, Cole. I think that this is a bad matchup for Richmond. I think it sounds crazy, Cole, that we're putting this much stock and pressure on Iowa to go far in the postseason. But just based on what they've done this year, I think it's reasonable to do that. And Richmond, I think, is 104th in defensive efficiency. And with the way this Iowa offense has been playing, Iowa should put up 80 and 90 points, no problem against them. Richmond, I think, is 301st in rebounding margin. They can do some nice things on the floor offensively. They have a couple good three-point shooters as well. But this is a bad matchup for Richmond. And Iowa, again, I think Iowa lucked out to some extent getting Providence, because I have zero stock in Providence. I have zero belief that they're going to be able to turn it around. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll say this, too, not to get too far ahead, Cole. I think Iowa wins, beats Richmond, and I think South Dakota State's going to upset Providence. So I think it's going to be a track meet in that second round. But, no, to go back to your point, Cole, I think it's a very good matchup for Iowa. And I think Iowa's going to cause a lot of teams problems just down the stretch, no matter how far they can go, just because of everybody playing well. And another guy I feel like I need to throw in, Cole, Peyton Sanford was big, big time in that championship game. 10 points in his limited minutes. He had back-to-back threes to put him up 57-51, which I think really helped turn the tide of that game. And the crazy part about that three, Cole, the first one, was he almost pump-faked, sized up the defender, and the second the defender put his hand down, Peyton Sanford immediately pulled the trigger from three and drained it. And I think, to go back to Fran McCaffrey's coaching job quickly, Cole, I think something that people need to realize about Fran, which he does not get enough credit for, I have a very hard time thinking about a coach who instills more confidence and freedom in their players than Fran McCaffrey.
I tell you what, Peyton Sanford has been key, because I remember us talking about, is there enough perimeter shooting on this team? Does Peyton Sanford maybe need to start just so you can get some more shooting to space the floor? And while he hasn't gotten into the starting lineup, his minutes just continue to increase. And you know what? He might look like a liability defensively, but he gets a lot out of what he brings athletically to the floor.
No doubt. And I'll say this, too. You can live with what he gives up defensively as long as he's busting his tail. And he is absolutely busting his tail the other end. Because there was a time, Cole, where you look at Iowa's, I don't want to say culture, but you look at their defense as far as, you know, what they can do. There were times where, you know, players just didn't put any effort into it. I think they were trying to outscore teams. So when you have a guy out there that, you know, he might be a little bit of a liability, you live with the effort that he gives. And I'll say this as well. Peyton Sanford's been huge on the glass. He's much farther along rebounding the ball than I thought he was going to be. And he's an absolute pest for defenses to guard, because he has such a high basketball IQ, and he never stops moving without the ball. I mean, he's got to drive defenders absolutely crazy.
David, I got to run. Great stuff as always. And hopefully next week we're still talking about Iowa men's and women's team still alive in the tournament.
Hey, I appreciate you, Cole. Take care, buddy. Enjoy these next couple days.
Yeah, you too, man. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, kind enough to join us on this abbreviated Cole & Company today. March Madness, the NCAA tournament, up next. I'm back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.